Welcome to another I Could Talk Kayfabe, because I could talk kayfabe. Mm-hmm. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
We're going to talk kayfabe here.
We're going to talk something I've never seen before.
I've never seen it either, and what happened was I had gotten a bunch of wrestling magazines and a lot on eBay.
Yeah.
And this was in this lot, and as soon as I started flipping through this one, I was like, this is the next one we have to talk about. Because this one is so ridiculous. It's called Superstar Wrestler from August 1986.
Just one wrestler.
Yeah, just one wrestler. Superstar Wrestler. And I've never heard of this magazine, but I'm so glad that I came across this one because this one's insane. On the cover, it has the Road Warriors with the Crockett Cup check. They're holding the check for $1 million.
So I got to say something, though. The layout in this magazine and just this cover by itself, I mean, obviously, look, I'm not a publisher of any sort. I've never published a magazine, but I can tell you just from, graphic design, experience and stuff like that. This is way too much on this cover.
Yeah, it really is. Like normal wrestling magazines, you'd have the big cover and then a couple different headlines on the left side, but it's not overwhelming.
And sometimes not even an aftermags, not every story is listed on the cover. Like sometimes there's maybe at least one, maybe two stories that are actually, in there that you read that are not as big stories, but this has literally everything that's in the book.
More or less the table of contents is on the cover. And in the top corner, it says more color than any other wrestling magazine. And that's true because there's a lot of color photos in this magazine. So it was a joy to look at.
A lot of color photos. And I'm not going to lie, these pictures are really good.
Yeah.
There's some pictures in here that are maybe it's just this issue in particular, but there's some really good photos in here.
Yeah.
Not that I've seen somewhere else, but most of them I feel are very unique, because it's a George George
Neapolitan.
He's
a famous wrestling photographer.
George Napolitano. George Napolitano. So
he was a big deal back then, back in the kayfabe era. He actually came out with a hardcover book. I remember buying it at Wegmans. It was just this big giant coffee table book.
Really?
Yeah, full of just wrestling photos that he took. And I have to have it at my parents still somewhere.
If you do, damn, man, that sounds like a lot of, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was a cool book, so he was a big deal back then.
Cause he was I think he did Wrestling Eye too, mm-hmm. but this is weird because it's kind of an offshoot of that. And it's also in the same vein as Starlog magazines.
Yeah.
Which are, Starlog was basically kind of like Fangoria for science fiction and stuff like that. And, I might have my information a little bit off there, but I know it was related. So there's a bit of there's some juice behind this.
Yeah.
So it looks really, that's probably why there's so much color in this book,
mm-hmm.
Color pages in this book. And it's just looks really nice.
It's also a little pricier. It's $3 in 1986 dollars. I think
that's actually a lot.
Yeah. Back then most magazines were under $2. So
I think it was at least $2.
Yeah. So this is a little pricey for magazines back then, but you're paying for the color photos.
You're paying for some quality in here. Not all of its quality, but you're paying for some quality.
Yeah, the articles are interesting. That's why I brought this over.
Let me say this much. The articles are interesting, but they're also the topic and the way that they're kind of approached are interesting, but the actual content is not that interesting.
No, it's actually ridiculous.
Well, it's ridiculous. Well, here's the thing. It's ridiculous in a sense that some of the pictures and some of the theme of the article is why did you do this? Kind of. Why would you have this article? But it's written very much blah, blah, blah. It's very factual.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, there's a little bit of, creativeness, but a lot of them, especially because to be honest, there's more photo than there is text in here.
Yeah.
So anyways, on the cover, so you got Superstar Wrestler, which I also do like that whoever did this, they're like, we have this great picture of the Road Warriors holding the Crockett Cup, the $1 million of the Crockett Cup. That, for some reason, is on the left side of this book. You have to turn it sideways to look and see Warriors win $1 million. Excuse me. Yeah, $1,000. I don't think they're getting out of bed for $1,000. but superstar wrestler. So the word wrestler is obscured by the hawk's head.
Yeah.
And then you have, let's see, Roddy Piper's Private War. Rick Martel ignores doctors. How much punishment can his back take? I mean, can we do, does it, it's just say Rick Martel ignores doctors? Nagasaki and Ninja chowing down with the assassins. Who cares? Jesse Barr, I grew up in the wrestling ring. Also a little bit burying the lead there. Kendall Windham getting the shaft.
Yeah.
He's also the subject of this book.
Of that article, which, he grew up in a wrestling ring, but when we get to it, you'll see there's not much wrestling going on in this article.
So. There's zero wrestling going on in that article. I do not see him growing up in one ring.
Yeah.
Superstar Billy Graham, how he survived his identity crisis.
I didn't know that he had an identity crisis. So.
What do you mean? You mean he went to he went from being Skullet Billy Graham.
Yeah.
And then he like went away, grew a mustache, and learned kung fu.
Yeah.
And then he came, and then he just all of a sudden was like, "I guess I'm superstar again."
He repackaged himself.
Repackaged himself because he's like, "What the hell am I? Why am I doing this?" Because he didn't care. But the kung fu Billy Graham is one of my guilty pleasures.
Yeah,
I'm very much fascinated by it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Kerry Von Erich super pictorial and exclusive interview. Nick Bockwinkel, why he may quit wrestling.
Oh, Nick, don't do it.
Well, he was pretty much on his way out at that point, anyways.
Yeah.
And three biggest events of the year, WrestleMania 2, WrestleRock 86, and New Orleans Tag Team Tournament.
Yeah.
Crockett Cup. I don't know why it's called Crockett Cup.
Yeah, the Crockett Cup. I don't know. Maybe it was like one of those things back then when it was like the Super Bowl, but it wasn't really called the Super Bowl until the
This 86 was the first year for this. Yeah. So
it's like not only are those the three biggest events of the year, but like that, I think looking back on it, those are three of the biggest events of all time. Maybe not so much WrestleMania 2, but
I wouldn't say the Crockett Cup was. I mean, Crockett Cup was.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal to me.
I think so.
WrestleRock was a big deal for AWA. It's probably like the some of the peak events of that time for those respective promotions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
The WrestleRock Rumble.
The WrestleRock Rumble.
Yeah.
That was a good song.
That was a good single.
What's his face? If you ever want to see Scott Hall rap, just look that up.
And the Rockers
and Vern Gagne. Vern Gagne.
Oh yeah, Vern Gagne raps at
Vern
the end.
Vern Gagne drops some fire that he probably learned like a minute, a couple minutes before he walked in and just says, just say it like this.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out the rest.
And Greg Gagne like cuts a promo during it. Like he raps a promo pretty much.
Greg Gagne's part is actually the best one.
Yeah.
I think. Because he's
the most enthusiastic.
Because he's also in his G.I. Joe phase, because he was the Gagne Raiders, and it was him and Jimmy Snuka against the Sheik, Adnan Al-Casey, and what's his face, Brody in a cage. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was, or maybe it was I don't know. It was WrestleRock. I think, is that on the network?
I don't think it is.
I feel like it is. I feel like I've seen, or maybe I just watched. You know what? I think I watched it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I definitely did watch on YouTube because I definitely did see like the matches. We'll talk about it when we get to it, but we start off here and we got our table of contents, which we're just gonna kind of go through this because it's thankfully one of the things they do in this book is they don't take the story and break it up to later in the book.
Yeah, it's all together. Whereas a lot of times in these magazines, you'll see one page of the article and then flip to page 62 to continue, and then you have to go all the way to the back. But another thing I want to talk about before we get started, inside on the opening cover here, on the inside of the cover, you have a magazine, movie tie-in magazine advertisement. So this is a lost art form in itself, where a major motion picture would come out and you'd get a magazine to tie in with the major motion picture. You see, like Rambo.
Can you imagine how some of these might be worth today?
Probably
nothing.
Nothing, because I've come across a few. I have one of the Conan movie magazine tie-ins, and I looked it up online. They're not really worth.
What if you get them autographed? You think they might be worth something?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Like if I got the 2010, the year. what is it called? What's the tagline for that one? Anyways, the one with John Lithgow in it.
Oh, okay.
2010. If I got that signed by John Lithgow, you think it'd be worth anything?
I don't know.
Or Explorers signed by Ethan Hawke.
You have to prove you have to prove that they signed it by like taking the photo with them or something.
Well, he also did sign it. I'm John Lithgow.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean that in itself is a lost art form. Those don't happen anymore. So that was kind of cool to see that. I remember Mallrats had one that ended up being very valuable. It was going for hundreds of dollars on eBay at one point. It got to the point where Kevin Smith was just like, I need to release this again. So like 20 years after Mallrats came out, they re-released the magazine just because it was so highly sought after. He wanted everyone to get their hands on it. So he re-released the magazine companion to Mallrats.
How about that?
Yeah. So these are just the lost art form. You don't see it anymore. Maybe they do still come out and we're just not paying attention. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not hanging out. I mean, they still got magazines at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. I was at Ralph's. There was magazines, but I wasn't really paying attention.
I just have these. Oh, you can get a Joni Loves Chachi one. TV superheroes and space fantasy. Oh, man. These are good. I want to see some of these. There's one I saw here that I was like interested in. The Superman 3.
Mm-hmm.
That could be fun. So I do want to say, so right off the bat, we got like an awesome picture here of, I think it's, is this Roddy Piper? I don't know who he's fighting here. But it's just a great little photo of him being, looks like he's being choked by like a TV cord.
Yeah, like a TV cord against somebody who's with blonde hair who I can't make out.
See, but the thing is, I don't think it's Greg Valentine. It looks like it could be like Ronnie Garvin, for crying out loud. I don't know.
No, Ronnie Garvin wasn't there this time. I don't know.
But it wasn't, but it was saying this could be, he was in Florida, or not Florida, Georgia.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyways, I like it. I had to point that out.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is number 3 of Superstar Wrestler, mm-hmm. August 1986. I don't know if we pointed it
out. Oh, I did point out the year, but I didn't point out it was number 3.
August. It's number 3. This is a brand new magazine that probably didn't last much longer after this because, Jesus Christ, it's mostly in color, and it's probably really expensive in 1986 dollars to produce. So if you have a few of these, you should be lucky. Anyway, so we got like their little like wrap up here of news, and you get like a bunch of really, you know, just good photos of, people together, Road Warriors with a little kid, and you got Mad Maxine.
Lady Maxine, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently she has aligned herself with the sheep herders.
Oh. That's an interesting combination.
Also they spelled aligned wrong here. There's a few misspellings in here. You're gonna see these in here. But and I feel like this is right before the Four Horsemen got together. I think it is. Like it was before the Four Horsemen were official. Yeah, because August 86. I don't think they. Or maybe they were.
Yeah, because if you look at the photo of Tully Blanchard and J.J. Dillon, it says that they're just joining forces.
Yeah, so it's pretty. Pretty early in the genesis of the Four Horsemen because he was managing. JJ was managing, Tully, and then it just how I should know my history of how the Horsemen got together because I'm watching that stuff right now.
Yeah, he was managing Tully, and then Arn and Ole were together, and Rick was together, and then they just kind of started cutting promos together for house shows.
Yeah,
all in once, like on screen at once, just to save time, and that's kind of how it formed.
Yeah,
yeah.
So what we got here? There's little things here about Steve Simpson will make everyone forget about Kerry Von Erich.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, Steve Simpson, the pride of South Africa. What else here?
So you got Percy Pringle raising Rick Rude's arm. Actually, Rick Rude is raising Percy Pringle's arm for some reason.
Because it looked like he was wrestling.
Yeah, and Percy Pringle has an amazing t-shirt of himself, and it's bright red, and it has a cartoon caricature of himself, and I love it, and I want it. So I'm going to have to go to percypringle.com and see if they sell those t-shirts or some kind of t-shirt like that. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
So... Yeah, but we have a lot of different quotes here from people. Like, actually, one of my favorites here is Hulk Hogan. They're talking about WrestleMania 2, and King Kong Bundy's like, I got a bum decision. That punk cat beat me. This is clearly somebody writing this for him. Hulk Hogan, that's an overrated bum. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he got lucky. That's all. He jumped out of the cage to escape from me. Now, is that any way for a champion should behave? Not in my book. If he was half the man he hyped up to be, he's hyped up to be, he would give me another crack at the title, which I'm certain he probably got another title shot, you know, down the line and probably lost all those. But also, too, I mean, does it mean that Bundy has no idea what the fuck, how a cage match works?
Yeah, I don't think he understands the rules.
Well, at least in mid-1980s WWF cage matches, because those were just pretty much just escape.
Yeah, escape, like, the cage, you win.
Escape the cage, you win. You know, I mean, there were... I think it was always like that for a while.
It wasn't until Warrior Rude at SummerSlam headline when they introduced the pinfall win.
Was there a pinfall in that one?
Well, no. It was either pinfall or escape the cage, and Warrior escaped the cage. But you could win by pinfall in that one.
Usually it was always – yeah, I think the pinfalls didn't start happening. I mean, for WWF, I mean, I think in NWA and pretty much elsewhere, like, it was always pins and or escape, but yeah, I find that to be unique. You got Bobby Jaggers and Billy Jack saying that musclehead couldn't wrestle his way out of a paper bag. Remember when Billy Jack went crazy, and now he's got, like, he was cutting this one promo where he was wearing a blonde wig, like a Ric Flair wig. He was cutting a promo on Steve Austin because, you know, about how he's like, oh, you beat your wife back in the day. And I'm like, I think people kind of know that Steve Austin has had some problems like that. Mm-hmm. But then he was like, no, that's my real hair in this promo. It was weird. Oh, man.
I know that he's all whacked out. I have seen some YouTube.
Well, he's mulling drugs, man. Yeah. He's out of there. But we have actually this great photo of Lex Luger. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, in the 86, Lex Luger... it's something to strive for.
Lex Luger with a beard.
Lex Luger with a Chris Benoit kind of beard and a nice mullet, and he's standing doing the Captain Morgan over by a
it's like a like
Captain
a,
Morgan pose.
Like a Cadillac limousine, like stepping out and like doing the pose in the door. Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
And Tully jumps on the table.
Tully Blanchard jumped up.
Tully Blanchard, no, the Tully the cat.
Tully.
And there he goes.
And he goes off the top rope. Yeah, so anyway, so that's your wrestling news.
Yeah.
In 1980. Oh, wait, we got another message page here. Yeah, and then we get some stuff about Jimmy Garvin messing with – because they're still talking like Mid-Atlantic, so Mid-Atlantic's still kind of a thing here. So it's an interesting time.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time around when this was came out. But it's you know, him and Wahoo – he's, you know, he's beat, you know, and Sam Houston he's feuding with. So there's all sorts of stuff going on.
I didn't know that Sam Houston ever had feuds with people.
Sam Houston was pretty prominent, I think, like 85, 86 in NWA. And then he went to WWF and did nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he pretty much only feuded with Danny Davis. But, and maybe he had like a few things, but he was pretty much a jobber, right? Almost from the get-go there. But in NWA, he actually, you know, he had like, you know, Mid-Atlantic title, I think, at one point, you know, and he feuded with, Khrushchev and all that stuff. So, Austin Idol here, too. Yeah, he's the idol of millions, or at least thousands. We're going to take him down, magazine.
Yeah, Austin Idol was an interesting character. I wish I knew more about him because he sounds like he was like an interesting guy back in the day.
He was a guy that probably, had he had a better... you know, maybe if he would have had at least a run somewhere in NWA or WWF for like a little bit. But I think by that time, like the, you know, in the mid 80s, he was big. He was a big name still, but I don't think he maybe was as motivated. Yeah. I think that was kind of what his problem was. Or he also like, yeah, I mean, he had like, he was in a plane crash too at one point.
Yeah. His biggest claim to fame was he cashed that kayfabe check from winning a battle royal. He talked a little bit about it in Memphis Heat, and then Jerry Lawler had him on his podcast and interviewed him. And so what happened was he won a battle royal, and the promoter came out and cut him a check because that was the thing to do. He won, I think it was like $25,000 or whatever. So he kept the check, and then like around Christmas time, he decided he was going to cash it. So he cashed it, and he pulled one over on the promoter because he actually cashed the check that he wasn't supposed to do. Now, it's made out to Austin Idol, you know, his kayfabe name, not his real name. But he went to the bank. Everyone knows him as Austin Idol because
They're not going to check ID.
Yeah, and they were a lot of these guys at the bank were there the night he won the Battle Royal. So they're like, yeah, we saw it. He won the Battle Royal. So they cashed the check. So he cashed That's the awesome. Check. And then he said that like a couple of weeks later, a police sheriff came over to the house and questioned him about a fake check. And he said, oh, I don't know anything about a fake check, but I won the Battle Royal. That was my prize money. And then he said he never heard anything of it again. So yeah, he pulled one over on the wrestling promoter that cut him that check.
He's
so.
Talking kayfabe.
Yeah,
that is probably
that's living kayfabe.
That is probably the best instance of talking kayfabe.
Yeah,
I know we you know it's weird that we keep repeating the title of this thing, but that is probably the best one of the best instances I think in the history.
It is the most legendary instance. Yeah,
and I like that. That's a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Last thing I hear about the news. Let's see. Yeah, Lady Maxine hanging out with the Sheepherders, but also Hacksaw Jim Duggan has driven Dick Slater out of UWF, Universal Wrestling. That would mean that now there's two things. There's he left. Dick Slater left, went become the Rebel in WWF.
Yeah,
but. He also, from what the story I read, and I don't know if it's true, but it's something where apparently he was, Dick Slater was dating Dark Journey. Remember Dark Journey?
No.
Okay, so she used to be Tully Blanchard's valet for like a minute back
was
in.
Before JJ?
No, it was after JJ.
Oh, after
JJ. It was during JJ.
During JJ.
It was like mid. Actually, shit, when was it? Because I'm watching all those WWF ones, WCW ones, and she wasn't in 87.
You know, some listener's going to be like, it was 87, you morons!
It was 87, but I'm trying to think, like, maybe I skipped part of it? Maybe it's in the early part of 87. I skipped part of it, because I watched, I've been watching from 87 on, like, where the Bunkhouse Stampede is, but... Yeah, she was his manager for like a little bit, and then she, retired or whatever. But apparently she was dating Dick Slater at the time, and Sting hooked up with Dark Journey behind his back.
Oh.
And Dick Slater came into the room one time, into the locker room, and just beat the shit out of Sting. And Sting took it because he knew he did wrong.
Yeah.
And then Dick Slater got fired, and that was it.
Oh.
So I think that's what happened.
So according to her Wikipedia page, she met Dick Slater while working as a stripper in Atlanta.
Right.
And
she was just some chick. Well, yeah. She was some chick.
And he brought her into wrestling as Dark Journey.
Yeah.
Oh,
which was it was very controversial for that, because she was a black woman and he is Dick Slater. So it was very, I think there was a lot of heat going on with that.
She
crowd heat and stuff like that.
She turned on Dick Slater and became a face in 86 and was the valet for the Missing Link of all.
That's right. Yeah, she's just right. She did. She was Missing Link had some stuff going on there too. Back in the UWF. I want to see that. Like that's the shit right there. That 86, 87 UWF.
So it looks like April to July 87 she was with Tully Blanchard, and then she just retired after
April to July.
Yeah, and then she retired after the Great American Bash.
Did I have to go back and? Well, I just want to break that up. Superstar personality profile.
Terrific, Terry Taylor.
Terry Taylor. What you need to know? Exclamation point.
What you need to know about the man who would later become the tailor-made man.
Yeah. Pretty much anything you already do know about him.
He was born on August 12th. My birthday is August 13th. Look at that. Yeah, we're pretty. And Hulk Hogan's is August 11th.
Oh man.
Yeah, and the Big Mosh's is August 18th.
Yeah, you guys should have one big party.
We're all a bunch of Leos.
Yeah, just Tate basically says most memorable bout up to that point was him versus Flair in the Superdome. Flying forearm is his favorite move.
Oh.
Yeah, that's always been his joint. Favorite color, blue, even though he's wearing red.
He wore red a lot.
He wore red pretty much all the time.
He wore blue as Terrific Terry Taylor, but yeah, he did wear red most of the time.
Favorite food, steak. No shock there. Favorite leisure activities, water ski and read.
No, he likes to read. He's a reader. That's why he wears glasses in some of his photos.
And clearly right here he's wearing glasses and he's ready to fight.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. He's got his dukes up, but he's in a full suit and glasses, and I don't understand. Yeah, and now this is where this magazine gets interesting.
This is where it gets, takes a turn.
Should we take a break before we get into this?
Yeah, you know, let's take a break, and we'll come back.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
We are back here on I Could Talk Kayfabe, and this is where the magazine gets interesting. Because
we're reading Superstar Wrestler number three, technically.
Number three of August, 1986. 1986 is a big year for wrestling magazines. I think it was the pinnacle year. 86, like 85 through 87, I think, were like the years where all the magazines were out. There was like so many different of them.
Well, that was the thing. That was when WrestleMania blew up, so everybody's, you know, into that. But okay. I grew up in a wrestling ring. Jesse Barr speaks candidly about growing up in the sport.
But he's not in a wrestling ring in any of these photos.
No.
It's him and Kendall Windham. I guess they must have been a tag team at this time.
Apparently so. Well, I don't even know if they were. Here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. Now, as a Florida fan of wrestling, so Jesse Barr, aka Jimmy Jack Funk,
mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys who it's like he's pretty boring, and he looks like the singer of REO Speedwagon, like constantly. And also, this, mind you, this could be also be allegedly pre eye ripped out Jesse Barr.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently Haku ripped out his eye. And if you want to know about that story, look that up. It's a legend.
I gotta imagine that happened in the WWF.
Well, it had to have. That's why people are saying that's why he wore his mask.
Oh,
because he didn't want his eye to keep falling out. But at this time, apparently they're not tag team. Actually, I don't think they're a tag team. Because Jesse's the Southern champion, or was the Southern champion, Florida. He was a Florida heavyweight champion, as well as a Caribbean champion. And Kendall was a Florida heavyweight champion. Which is funny calling Kendall Windham heavyweight anything, because he weighs like 2 pounds.
Yeah.
At this time.
He got bigger later on, but like looking at these photos now, he doesn't look over 160 pounds.
So, okay, here's what's going on. Here's the best part about this. So basically, there's nothing about them being in the ring, actually pictures being in the ring. All these pictures are them hanging out on the beach.
Yeah.
So you've got a picture of them just kind of sitting on some rocks. And then the main picture, that the big splash page, is what they use their color budget on, is Jesse Barr and Kendall Windham's driving. I don't know. What are these? Are these like beach? They're not dune buggies.
They're not dune buggies. I don't know what they are. They're like three-wheel cruisers with just these giant wheels. I don't understand.
Well, how do you propel them? Are they like paddle ones?
I don't know if they're paddle or if they're like, they look like there's an accelerator.
I think they're paddle because he's got his feet.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think you just kind of.
Okay, yeah, I see his other foot there. So yeah, they are paddle. So they're bicycles. They're three-wheel bicycles with these giant, giant color wheels.
Like Bigfoot size wheel.
Yeah, they're huge. And they're just like posing for the camera on these giant bicycles. And then there's another photo up in the up in the corner where Jesse Barr's hanging upside down from a tree.
He shouldn't be doing that.
I don't understand what's going on.
He could hurt himself for his matches.
And then you think that's a lot, but no, it gets even weirder because now they're at a stable. There's a giant photo of them like posing with a horse, but then in the corner they're posing with like a mini pony, and they're brushing it. Like I don't understand what's going on.
Well, I do like the caption because the caption just says Kendall's pony is his pride and joy. I don't know if that's his pony.
I don't think so.
I think they rent. I think they're just like, hey, can we get, where can we get some shots? Well, can we use your ranch? Can we use your dune buggies on the beach?
I believe if it's anybody's pony, it's Blackjack Mulligan.
It's probably Blackjack
Mulligan. Yeah, it's probably his pony.
I imagine Blackjack Mulligan had a Shetland pony.
Yeah.
Also, I do like this picture here of them with a horse because it's one of those like stereotypical like wrestling photos where like, you know, the two guys are standing there and they're pointing at you and they're giving you the, you know, I call it the Anderson point. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just kind of pointing at you, looking at you. And, you know, Kendall's kind of doing it like he's got like the serious look and like Jesse kind of is kind of like, yeah, I guess I'll do it too. Mm-hmm. And he's also pointing. And then between them is a big horse, which, you know, it's kind of like pose. It's kind of like, it's almost like they had like a scavenger hunt and they had to do like a bunch of like take wrestling photos, one with a horse, one with a dune buggy, you know. But yeah, we just have, and it's just a story about them being like, well, you know, we like to go and relax on the ranch and, you know, and it's good to go on the ranch because I get to forget about Kevin Sullivan for a while, you know, because, you know, because he was a Satan guy back then.
Yeah. You There's know. A quote, Kendall and I, so I'm guessing Jesse Barr said this, Kendall and I are not into the disco scene. Let that, that's like,
That's foreshadowing.
That's foreshadowing for later on in this magazine.
But they're both on the verge of stardom. That is incorrect.
No, that never happened.
No, Jesse Barr was Billy Jack Funk, or Billy Jack Funk.
Jimmy Jack Funk.
Jimmy Jack Funk and Kendall Windham went on to counterfeit money.
Yeah.
that's pretty much all that happened. And then we get some letters.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so, okay, so we're taking it down a little bit. Now we get to a special New York-based photo spread of superstar Billy Graham, how he survived his identity crisis.
He had an identity crisis, so he got on a boat in New York and they took photos of him. And they found him.
Yeah. I am now superstar Sailor Graham. him and Captain Mike Rotundo.
Well, as I said at the beginning of this podcast, this magazine is just weird and it's just getting weirder and weirder. Well,
it's weird because they okay, here's the thing. So George Napolitano George Napolitano.
It's called Neapolitan.
George Neapolitan. Probably was good friends with a lot of these wrestlers because he's like, I think him and Bill Apter are pretty much friends with like every wrestler in the 80s. Billy Graham obviously was a big star in the WWF back in the early 80s, you know, late 70s, early 80s. So, and this is in between, I think, him. So he's still in NWA, but he's going to come to the WWF, I think, at this time. So he's already ditched the karate part of him. And now he's just, you know, dressed like with a two-tone beard and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they take these photos of him and he's like on this boat and he's on the mast of a boat. And it looks like the perspective of it, it looks like he's standing like on like a Brooklyn Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah. Like it looks like he's ready to jump.
And he's just giving like the finger up, you know, number one. I'm like, dude, be careful. And also, this is Billy Graham, 1986. He's not doing so good.
No.
You know, his body is breaking down.
Yeah.
He's not taking bumps or anything.
Billy Graham 2017 would not be doing this. That's for
Billy
sure.
Billy Graham 1997 is not doing this. Billy Graham after, this is the last good picture of Billy Graham.
I think you might be right there. Yeah.
So, yeah, we get more pictures of him on a boat, looking at boat things.
He's like, he's got the boat, the steering wheel.
These are great photos.
They are. They're awesome photos.
These are awesome photos.
They just don't make any sense.
They don't make any sense. I'm not complaining that these photos are awesome. And if I had like a man cave, I would probably blow one. I'd probably blow this one up here by him with the steering wheels. I'd probably blow that up and just put it behind the bar. It's like, why do you got a picture of Billy Graham? I was like, why would you not?
We got to get a hold of George Neapolitan and see if he's got the negatives for these.
I mean, we even get some classic photos of Billy Graham.
Yeah, we got him with the Grand Wizard and there's one with him holding the belt.
I'm always fascinated by his tights back then because he had like these really cool, like psychedelic, you know, tie-dye kind of tights, but sometimes they were just, you know, just two colors.
Yeah, they were just two colors. It was cool. It wasn't like his later in his 80s where he wore the tie-dye t-shirt was cool. I always liked that. But these were like you said, they were just like two-tone. It was almost like those clothing that like when you would wear it and it'd get wet, it would change the colors. It's almost kind of how it looks.
Yeah, no, he has some great gear. And there's, so basically all they do is just kind of go through like, well, he was Billy Graham at first, and then he learned karate, and he didn't really, you know, he got booed, and it didn't really go so well. And then he got his you know, his groove back, and now he's Billy Graham again. Hooray. That's literally the article. That's what I was saying about these articles. They're not very specific.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. I also got to say here, he's fighting Ivan Putski in this picture here.
Yeah. He's got him in a full Nelson.
So my question is, I always thought Ivan Putski was always ripped.
I guess
And he's not.
Not ripped at all in this photo. No, he's getting ripped apart. Even
he's getting ripped apart.
He's got a belly, and he's like not that big.
No.
Yeah.
Look, a superstar belly.
Yeah, because I remember Ivan Putski used to be on those ESPN World's Strongest Man competitions. He was just jacked. Yeah, he'd be always like pulling a semi truck from behind him. So
Ivan Putski's still alive, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Wrestlers that are still alive. Ivan Putski. And Billy Graham.
Billy Graham is still alive as of this podcast.
Yeah.
Hopefully we won't have to edit that out like we had to with somebody else.
we'll take care of that. So Rick Martel, how much punishment can his back take?
Well, his back took a lot of punishment.
Because he kept on wrestling.
He wrestled a long time after this magazine came out.
So. Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. He's fine. He just because he lost... Excuse me, the AWA title doesn't mean his world is over.
No.
I got to say, though, it's just talking about him losing to Stan Hansen and you know, what he needs to do to get the belt back and blah, blah, blah. However, though, I got to say, they got some really nice photos here. It's a nice spread, but you got a lot of nice photos of the AWA belt, including one that really like.
With Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen holding it. I like that belt.
Yeah, it's a cool belt.
It looks like it's been beat up a lot.
Yeah.
It looks like it's been around for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't change the belt very often. And that was before Stan Hansen ran it over with a truck. So.
Yeah, I know. Before he ran it over and they had to get a new belt. But this is a nice belt. And I think you can have that in the games. I'm not sure. I think at one point you did.
It's a nice looking belt.
It's a nice belt. So I'm going to get some ratings. I got to talk about these ratings here. Now, these are actually – here's the thing. These ratings are very straightforward. And they feel very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's not really much else, much really to say about them. And they cover quite a bit of ground, to be honest.
Yeah, they sure do.
You know, there's quite a bit of ground here there's three pages of it.
Yeah.
You know, because there's, you know, also, you know, ads for the Illustrated Encyclopedia of Sex, which looks gigantic, by the way.
It's a huge book.
That's a huge book, and it's illustrated. I kind of want to look at it. I kind of get my hands on that. We have top 20. You got King Kong Bundy. King Kong Bundy's number one.
What I find is the most popular. So you see Magnum TA's number one. I'm not going to argue that because Magnum TA, this is the height of Magnum TA popularity. Ricky Steamboat at two. But then you have Scott Hall at three, above Hulk Hogan.
But
Scott Hall.
That's because these magazines loved him back then.
Yeah,
so they were convinced that he was going to be the biggest wrestling star of all time. I mean, that's how much they bought into Scott Hall in the mid '80s.
They weren't far off. I mean, he wasn't the biggest, but it took him a long time.
They're about 10 years off before he really hit his prime.
Yeah,
you know, as being a superstar. But yeah, I mean, they're hardcore onto it. However, though, I will say. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not seeing Hulk Hogan in the top 20 at all.
In the top 20? Well, I don't see him in there either, but I just see him in the WWF. They have him world champ, and then they have the top 10. Well, maybe they didn't include him because he's
also
the world champ.
Well, also, too, I don't think...
Do you see Flair?
No, I don't see Flair in here
either. So maybe they didn't include the champs in their top 20.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, because I don't see Hansen in here.
Yeah, they probably just didn't include the world champs.
That's weird. That's weird. Yeah. So, and then they don't do the thing, too, in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated books, in the aftermags, where they take the first guy, they take the Intercontinental or the major secondary belt holder and put them at number one because the world champion is always Nick at the very top without being ranked. Like, it's officially number one all the time, but it's not number one. So, yeah, but King Kong Bundy here is number one. And Savage, I believe, who is the IC belt holder, is number three. So Jake Roberts number two, which is – actually, that's weird. He was that high up. I mean, because this is after right after WrestleMania 2. He literally just debuted.
Yeah, he just wrestled George Wells.
Yeah. So we get some UWF. What else we got here? AWA.
Florida World Championship Wrestling Council.
Yeah, we got Florida. These are good hearty ratings. You got some Northwest PNW, some Oregon stuff, some World Class, and then we also got the ICW. So this is a Northeast based promotion magazine. You got the ICW, which this sounds like a promotion I'd watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be watching all the time, and I wish it was still like constantly around.
Joe Savoldi.
Well, Joe Savoldi, not familiar with Joe Savoldi,
familiar with him at all.
I mean, well, he was, you know, pretty much like that was his promotion, or his father's promotion or whatever. But Kevin Sullivan, you know, got Blackjack Mulligan. Kevin Sullivan used to hang out there in between doing Satan stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he would do a little bit of Satan stuff in Florida, and then he'd come up here up to, you know, Boston. And
they had some guys there. They got Blackjack Mulligan. They got Bruiser Brody's there.
They got Superstar Billy Graham.
Abdullah the Butcher.
Doing a tour.
So, yeah, that's kind of looks like a cool place to be watching. I wish I could. They had a lot of Texas guys on that.
Yeah, this is what eventually would become IWCCW, but obviously this is much better. And then, you get yet another page where actually you get a nice photo of Carlos Colon and a nice shot of the, not color photo, but a nice shot of the...
The Puerto Rican Council title, which looks like a weightlifting belt with a plate on it.
It does. But I never get to see those kind of belts because, it's a Puerto Rican match, so I don't get to watch them. Never got to saw them as much. Just saw them. What the hell are we talking about? But, we even get Mid-Southern, which, how they race in the Mid-South, Memphis. I was not familiar with that.
I didn't know that he was there.
It was probably, there very briefly because it's getting close to him starting with the WWF, and he's probably just doing stuff like for AWA and,
because
he was at Wrestle Rock, so he was just out there. You know, probably took some time off.
Finally, you have the NWA towards the last promotion. Yeah, like at
the very, very last thing. Very last thing. And then you get some tag teams.
Yeah.
Which it's your usual suspects at the time. So
yeah. Midnight Express, the Eaton and Condry edition is the number one tag team.
Yeah. So you got some teams.
They must have been world tag champs or maybe U.S. tag champs. I don't know.
So now we get Roddy Piper's war, private war.
But he's got Hulk Hogan in a sleeper, and the photo is...
Great photo, by the way.
The photo is overlapping the headline.
So it just says, Roe Piper's pre-R, if you're actually trying to read all the letters. The layout
by Phyllis Puckett. I'm going to Google Phyllis Puckett as we talk about this to see if it's real person.
Maybe that's Kirby Puckett's wife.
Maybe. Or mother.
Kirby Puckett's mother wrote for Wrestling Superstar.
Rest in peace, Kirby Puckett.
R.I.P. Kirby Puckett. Hulk Hogan also in white knee pads. I feel like that's kind of a rarity in his outfit.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But basically, it's basically a biography about Roddy Piper.
Interesting. So I started putting in her name, and it comes up in Google. Oh, there's a bunch of Phyllis Puckett's, though.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's a common name.
Yeah.
But basically, this is just an article about Roddy Piper's life, and talking about, you know, everything that he's done, and blah, 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 you know, and, how he kind of goes back and forth between, being bad and being good, and just... He's a very polarizing person.
Yeah.
So, and you know, we get some, descriptions about, you know, about his, well, I think they talk a lot about his, match from Starrcade 83 when he got beat up by
Greg Valentine.
Valentine, his ear was bloody. But then the chain match, which also this is an awesome photo, of him in that match.
He's got Valentine's
collar match.
Valentine's face is just like wrapped in the chain, and it looks great.
Yeah. So and then we get a little bit here about a story, text about him as a commentator in Georgia, which I remember reading this, and then in some of the older wrestling magazines that I've read when I was a kid that. He was a commentator in Georgia, and they had to ban him from being a commentator, or they had to censor him or something because he would just be really he would say some stuff that would rub people the wrong way, and you know they had to censor him. And I mean, obviously, it was part of his gimmick, but maybe it wasn't. And like he would actually, it was kind of almost in a way breaking kayfabe here because they're talking about how
he's criticizing. One of us, I don't know if it's breaking kayfabe, but he's observing how Bob and Brad Armstrong would wrestle, and how Brad would just get his get the shit beat out of him, and then Bob would just come in and clean up.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's just basically it. You know, that's not really anything spectacular. We get some pictures.
Got a photo shoot of Kerry Von Erich.
Yeah,
full color photo shoot. He's got the claw on Ric Flair with Bill Alfonso, the referee.
I didn't know Bill Alfonso. I always thought Bill Alfonso was a Florida referee.
I guess he's in there.
He's in there, but
nice centerfold of Kerry just flexing.
That'll go in my locker.
And then he's got he's just a bunch of hodgepodge of photos of him, one with a belt with the NWA title.
Here's the thing, though. I feel like I've seen a lot of these photos.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of, like, everybody has this one shot of him at Texas Stadium against Flair and having Flair in the abdominal stretch. Like, I feel like that's a shot that you see a lot. Also, yeah, same thing with him when he won the title.
Here he's about to put the claw hold on the one-man gang. That's a pretty cool shot. I like that shot.
Yeah.
And then there's another one where he's in the corner with Chris Adams. They're having a match, I guess.
So, okay. So here's what I think is probably the main event of this magazine.
Oh, you think this is the main event? This is bigger than Barr and Wyndham on the beach?
You know, I think so, yes.
Okay.
Because there's more, because it's pretty, okay. The Barr and Wyndham on the beach talks about the wrestling, and you don't see any of it. This is just like, hey, Road Warriors came to New York and went to a disco, and we took pictures.
Yeah, this is nuts. The Road Warriors, and they have like these two women on their shoulders, and they're in street clothes, like Animal's even in a collared shirt. Hawk has just a white t-shirt on. Yeah, no, well,
they're wearing slacks. Like, I think Hawk, Animal's wearing actual chinos.
Animal's wearing slacks, and Hawk is wearing jeans with like a snakeskin belt.
He's wearing a snakeskin belt. I'm actually, I just noticed that, and now I want that belt. Now I want that belt. But, and so here's the thing. So they went to what's supposed to be a disco, the Manhattan's newest in spot, Shout.
By 1986, disco was dead, but they found one.
They found, oh, first of all, it's a disco, but the women that are there are dressed like it's.
Yeah. I think like in the 80s, they just called nightclubs discos because they used to call them.
I don't even know if it's a nightclub, because first of all, for some reason, looking at these pictures, it feels like these pictures are taken during the day. It just feels like they brought them in like to like the place during the day and had like a private party for them. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it's. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it was taken at night. Maybe it was. I don't know. I could be wrong. But, and so apparently they came over to get a picture. You know, it's not even like in Manhattan. I think it's technically Long Island. It's Suffern. Maybe if you look up Suffern, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a feeling that's probably in Long Island. But they're coming in and they're talking about like how they're playing music in here, but they're playing Chubby Checker's The Twist.
Yeah, that's not
a disco song. This place is still safe for I think Jesse Barr to go to. Because where is it?
It's in Rockland County. It's not even on the island. It's like upstate New York.
Yeah. Like, so it's like Parsippany.
Yeah.
Or sorry, not it's like Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
So we're not talking Manhattan.
No.
This is
I mean, it's probably in the Manhattan. It's probably in the New York.
You can take a train there. Yeah. You'll probably find your way there.
It's in the New York television.
It's in the tri-state area.
Yeah. But it's definitely not. It's not on the island.
No.
So
get your act together. Shout. Yeah,
Rockland County.
But they were nice enough to bring them in. And look how happy they are. Look how happy Hawk is here.
He's a happy guy.
For a guy that was once quoted as saying he every morning he wakes up he wants to kill somebody because he was so loaded with monkey steroids. He looks very happy. This is a very happy photo. Animal's not that happy in this photo.
No.
Also, I think that's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And then you get these other pictures here, because you got like this candid picture of them holding up. Looks like one of those gimmicks where they put like a car and it's like, oh, the car is coming out of the ceiling. They went to a TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
They went to like a Planet Hollywood kind of place. And the women are dressed, and it's that they went to like a 50s diner themed restaurant.
So I'm looking right now. I'm Googling Shout Disco. Apparently, there was a Shout Disco in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And it catered to 50s and 60s rock and roll. So I'm assuming this is another location. This is obviously not the Manhattan location. This is a
Maybe they went to both.
Maybe they went to both. Yeah, but it was a thing, and it wasn't really a disco. It was just a club that was a 50s and 60s themed club, which I think they're just calling it disco. Like I said before, they just called nightclubs discos back then. That was just the word that they used for a nightclub. So
I do like that one of the quotes apparently from Hawk when they started playing the Twist is he yelled out, "Hey, Paul, they're playing your song," which apparently this was – Precious Paul Ettering's favorite, the Twist was Precious Paul Ettering's favorite song. Probably listened to it on an iPod while racing dogs.
It's the only song that ever reached number one on the Billboard charts, completely dropped off, and then reached number one again.
Nice.
That's a little trivia for you.
That's probably why it's Paul's favorite song.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it's a very just random short thing about like a random thing where what I think happened, and I'm going to put my theory out there, is that George Napolitano has an in with these people that run this club, and he just was like, hey, the Road Warriors are going to be in town. They're maybe doing some Pro Wrestling USA, maybe. Who knows? And they're like, hey, you think I can get the Road Warriors to come on here? And they're like, sure. Can I take some pictures? Great. And, you know, now you have an exclusive, because here's the thing. PWI ain't doing this shit.
No, they're not. They're strictly covering wrestling.
They're strictly covering wrestling. You're getting stories about wrestlers maybe going to dinner.
Yeah.
And doing stuff, but you're not getting pictures of them hanging out, eating dinner. I mean, you're getting a few articles. Like, you are getting a handful of, like, you know, hey, there was this convention and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And here's a few pictures. But it's, you're not getting a full color spread of Hawk and Animal posing with a fake car.
No, you're not.
And you also get a random photo here of, and I had to look him up, both these people, a picture of Diamond Jim Brady.
Yeah, he looks like a wrestler, but apparently he's a boxer.
Apparently he's a boxer, and it's like this photo of somebody took it from, there's somebody's up on like a...
It must be a balcony or the balcony. DJ booth or something, and he's just looking up, and he looks out of place as the Road Warriors do. Even more so, because he's got a cowboy hat on.
He does. He looks like cowboy. He looks like Bill Irwin.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
And he's there, and then they have like a random shot of Paul Ettering talking to some guy named Robert D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
I had to look him up. The only thing that came up was he was some guy that a couple years ago was killed because he apparently cashed in like a big check of back pay because he was a pipe fitter or something. I think there was some union stuff going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I don't know why he gets a name credit and a picture with him because it's not Vincent D'Onofrio.
He must have been friends with the editor, with George Neapolitan. They must have been buddies or something.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where I think this is where it comes.
Yeah. So now we got some WrestleMania 2 coverage.
Finally, some wrestling coverage.
Finally, yeah.
Finally, some wrestling coverage.
Well, you know, the Rick Martel article was wrestling, but this is actual wrestling event coverage, like WrestleMania 2. We got Hogan and Bundy coverage right now. Bundy's getting kicked in the face.
That's a great photo.
Yeah. I wish that was color. Yeah, that was.
This would be a great color photo, and that would be like a nice frame photo. But you got some.
You got William Perry punching Jim Neidhart, and the boxing match between Piper and Mr. T.
Yeah, you got a few photos. And then they also made a good point here, and that's something that I agree with, that the Magnificent Morocco and Paul Orndorff match was a big disappointment.
Yeah.
Because it ends in double disqualification, and it's not, and you think for a match between those two guys in 1986 would have been awesome. And it wasn't. Oh, actually, we have a nice photo here. I've never seen this.
Hulk Hogan hugging Elvira.
Yeah.
And he's got his arm right in a precarious spot on Elvira's body.
He's giving her the Hulkster squeeze.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then we have
Elvira's got the "I'm about to faint" look on her face, like pose. Yeah.
He's holding that belt too. Yeah, yeah. Hogan was flying high in '86, guys.
He sure was.
Let me tell you something, brother.
We have Nikolai Volkoff kicking Corporal Kirshner in the face.
Yeah,
everyone should kick Corporal Kirshner.
Corporal Kirshner, aka Pat Country.
Yeah.
The more I look at him, the more I'm like, is that Pat Country?
Yeah.
Oh wait, I forgot about this.
Yeah. See, here's another article. I'm going to put this up there with Kendall and Jesse Barr on the beach because this is great.
I got to say this much. Okay, so they were like, hey, WrestleMania 2, did you like that? You want more wrestling coverage? Nope.
Nope.
Now we have Kendall Nagasaki and the White Ninja. Or is it the Black Ninja?
He's just the ninja. He's wearing
black.
Oh,
just the ninja. Okay, well, I think it was the White Ninja officially. But AKA The Great Muta.
Yeah.
Very young Great Muta.
With Oliver Humperdinck.
Yeah. Oliver Humperdinck actually was probably the king of open... I think he was maybe even better at it than Captain Lou of wearing the Hawaiian open shirt.
You know. Yeah, it's definitely a toss-up.
We never got a clear winner on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we just get a lot of candid shots of them just sitting around and, like, you know, pointing at things. Like, they're pointing, like, they went to, like a Asian, heritage museum, and they're like, hey, let's take pictures of them while they're there in their wrestling gear.
Yeah. There's a photo of them posing with a Buddha statue.
Yeah.
And Nagasaki has, like, a kendo stick, and he's pointing at Buddha's throat with it, and it doesn't make any sense.
So, but in the article, was nothing but just them being like, oh, yeah, so, like, they wrestle, and they were homesick, so Humperdinck took them for some steak.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
And you see them...
And then, like, you see them eat steak!
They're ordering, and there's two Japanese waitresses, and they're dressed in, like, the Japanese garb. They're obviously, like, a sushi house or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I do like... Okay, so there's a few random photos here that I like here. So you have one where it's just a picture of Muta and Humperdinck, and with some random woman.
Yeah, and they're giving her his t-shirt, which is pretty awesome t-shirt.
But the article... Is that his t-shirt?
Yeah, it just says a karate t-shirt.
It just literally says the ninja displays a karate shirt.
Yeah.
Which could, you know, actually kind of looks like the logo from the Karate Kid from the third one.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's going on here. And then you have this other photo of, it says Nagasaki and the ninja explain the map to Sir Oliver Humperdinck. And they're literally, that is not a map. That is just a picture.
It's a painting. Yeah.
And Kendall Nagasaki's got a stick just pointing. He's always carrying around that stick.
Yeah.
I do like that he's carrying around that stick.
And Muta's like pointing somewhere in the sky, and then Nagasaki's just like kind of like holding a stick into the camera.
And then they also, just to reiterate, you know, how important this article is, you know, here's a bit of wrestling information. Sol Oliver Humperdinck feels his Japanese will win the world's title, tag team titles soon.
Oh, I hope so. I hope he's right.
Yeah, you know, he's wrong. But it's just like a random inset photo of him just looking off into the distance.
It's so weird seeing this young photo of Muta. Yeah.
With nothing.
No makeup, just a young man. Probably his first tour of the United States.
It is, yeah, yeah.
And he's just like,
just got a start.
And Nagasaki's just like this grizzled veteran with missing hair. And
I love that. I love his look.
It's just awesome.
I love it. He's one of my favorite. He just looks so out there. And he's constantly, actually, I think he's wearing his gimmick at the table because he's got like his chest plate on or whatever the hell he's wearing. It looks like he's wearing, I don't know. Or is that a bib? I don't know what that is. Is he a crash?
He's the only one wearing it, so I think it is just like his chest plate gear.
Well,
yeah.
A lot of open, like, well, Muta's just there, open gi.
Yeah.
You know, what's his face?
Humperdinck at least buttoned his shirt.
He buttoned his shirt to eat. Yeah. I don't think Captain Lou's doing that.
No.
In here we have, this is actually once you get past this part, you have, it's nothing but the rest of the ads are almost nothing but, women wrestling ads, like apartment wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, we have one that's just, you know, it's just full on, like, women kickboxing. And, you know, I mean, you got some women, actual women wrestling, but there's a lot of, like, if you're into cat fights, you need everything on this page.
$40 each.
Yeah.
It wasn't cheap.
Starlog's taking care of you because that's they're doing this here. And then, we got more wrestling now.
Finally. We got more wrestling coverage. Is the Wrestle Rock coverage.
Well, you know, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about that.
We are back. I was gonna try to do a rap, but no. We're just gonna go into Wrestle Rock.
No, we gotta talk about Wrestle Rock here.
Yeah, I just couldn't think of a clever rap to do. So you know, here's an interesting fact about me. I love the Wrestle Rock Rumble song. I've never seen the Wrestle Rock pay-per-view. Never seen it. It's not on the network. I just haven't got around to looking it up on YouTube. So this will be like new to me. Like this footage, these photos, cause I don't know the card. I don't even know who main evented. I just know that they had a clever rap song and I want to watch.
Well, I think the main event was, I want to say it was Bockwinkel and Hansen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cause that was them.
They're in the photo of the very first photo of the show.
Was it a two? Oh, okay. It was a five-hour event.
Wow.
Started promptly at 2:30 in the afternoon and at 7. Okay, well, it went. So it probably wasn't. It was probably at least 4 hours though.
Yeah.
Because it was 2:30, and then at 7:30, Waylon Jennings performed. Because Waylon Jennings, that's he was the rock part of that.
Oh.
You know, who I'm assuming they probably went through. I mean, Waylon Jennings was, you know, it's Waylon Jennings. You know, he's a big deal. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, but you had Scott. Let's see, you had Hansen and Bockwinkel. You had Scott Ledoux, who was a referee, and he had a boxing match with Larry Zbyszko.
Larry Henning is raising his arm in victory. Sometimes.
Larry Henning looks like George Lucas in that photo. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. we had a
little T tosses little Tokyo. Yeah,
Midget match. Harley
Martel, Harley Race. Wow.
Yeah, that was like when Harley Race was just kind of putzing around before he went to the WWF and made all that, you know, before he needed the money.
Before he set fire to the WWF ring in Missouri and said, if you ever come to this town again, I'm going to kill you all.
I just read that story again. Recently, and Harley Race is the best. He is one of my, he's always throwing around guns. He's like Frank Reynolds.
Yeah.
He's always got a gun on him. Like, you hear a lot of stories about, like, Harley, and then Harley Race pulled out a gun, and I was like, yeah, Harley Race. You got Slaughter and Kamala, which is, that's the most 80s match ever, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think that's the most, like, if you were like, hey, Hulk Hogan should be in there. You know, but if you're talking like two wrestlers that were not like big WWF guys in the mid 80s, that's like most 80s match you can get.
Yeah.
That's
pretty awesome. I didn't know they had a match.
Well, probably wasn't very good.
I want to watch this pay per view so bad now. Then you got Colonel De Beers and Wahoo McDaniel.
Yeah. That's a brawl. And then you got the Marty Jannetty, spelled wrong here. Marty Jannetty and
Doug Summers, it looks like.
Well, it's the Rockers against Doug Summers and Buddy Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just going through it. You know, hang on here. Okay, spell Kamala right here. Spell Kamala wrong here. How come? Come on. Do your work.
And you got Vern Gagne, like, trying. It looks like he's trying to open the cage.
Well, so the match was, I think it was Brody and...
Brody teamed up with John Nord a lot. Was it John
Nord? It was. Okay. Actually... they kind of mess this up here a little bit because they go Greg Gagne and the Superstar. Yeah, that's right. It's Greg Gagne and Snuka against Kong Kong Bundy and the Barbarian.
Oh, where's Kong Kong Bundy?
Kong Kong Bundy.
I thought I said
Kong Kong Brody, but this is Kong Kong Bundy.
Yeah, because they call them King Kong Brody in there because they had the bruiser, so they didn't call him Bruiser Brody. Yeah.
There is a bunch of stuff in here, man. This is I'm forgetting all these matches here. They had Road Warriors against the Freebirds in a cage. You had
a women's battle royal, apparently.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I saw that. It's just like everybody just falls out first. Oh, yeah. And it was, if Snuka and Gagne won. That's why, what's his face? Vern Gagne's on the outside because he got 5 minutes with the Sheik.
Oh,
okay. Lionel Casey. So, but yeah. Oh, yeah. And also the Fabulous Ones versus the U.S. Express, the original U.S. Express.
Wow.
So that was a good show.
It looks like Tiger Mask and Buck Zumoff are going at it.
Yeah, well, fuck Buck Zumoff. Yeah, well, you had Scott Hall and Kurt Hennig against the Long Riders. Also, to another, I'm not even gonna bug at these. This is full of errors.
It's full of errors, and then
full of errors.
Vern Gagne is receiving something from somebody.
He's receiving the governor. He's receiving a proclamation from the governor during the festivities.
Governor of what?
Of Minnesota.
Oh,
not Jesse Ventura.
No, before Jesse was the governor.
Yeah, well before Jesse,
he was still wrestling at this point.
So, yeah.
He was doing commentary.
He was still commentary, yeah. He was already retired.
He wasn't the heel commentator yet, though.
Was he? I thought he always was the heel commentator.
No, he wasn't really full-fledged heel till like, around WrestleMania 3. He was kind of, like, neutral for the first couple of years. Yeah. Hmm. Like, if you watch WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2, he's not really a full-fledged heel. WrestleMania 2, he's actually doing play-by-play.
That's weird. I have to go back and watch that because I have to go back and see that because I'm not used to him not being Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, WrestleMania 2, he's doing play-by-play, and Lord Alfred Hayes is doing the commentary as is Elvira. And he wasn't really a full-fledged heel until like going into the third WrestleMania.
I'll have to go back and watch that. I'm very intrigued by that now.
So then we got more busty women. Okay. And there's a nip slip.
There's a few. Yeah. You can see full-on black and white breast.
Yeah.
In a few photos here, you have what? Okay, erotic muscular young girls wrestling / boxing explosion, body heated super 8mm films, cartoon photo books. Oh boy, mind blowing screaming sound videotapes.
Yeah,
see and enjoy. That's only see, but you can enjoy face smothering, torturous cat fighting, buxom. Boxing, sex, and violence at its best. Mm-hmm. Do not miss this special interest video presentation, Wild Girls Fight. Holy shit. That is intense.
So I like how they have, you can choose VHS or beta, but they misspelled beta.
That's right. It's beta.
They spelled beta.
Maybe it's beta. Maybe you can only get these in beta.
Yeah, it's a new format, beta.
I want the photo cartoon wrestling directory. I want to get that first. I need to ease my way into it.
Yeah.
That's only $15.
Checks on demand or checks on cash delivery. Cash on delivery. I don't even know what that is anymore.
What is it? It's like no CID, COD. So like what you would just, was that something where somebody would just deliver it to your house and you just pay the guy that brings it to you?
Cash on delivery. Okay. You send them $10 for postage, and then they'll send you the tape, and then you pay when it gets there. I get it. Yeah, that's not really a thing that's done anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is how you did it back in the day. This is how you had to get your apartment wrestling videotapes.
Cash on delivery. Because
clearly, this is being filmed in like your aunt's shag rug.
Yeah.
Because I had these rugs back in the '80s.
Yeah.
This is bringing memories back. Not the actual fighting, but the rug.
Yeah, I never saw the
never had any wrestling.
I wonder where if somebody owns these tapes, how do we get a hold? Somebody had to have bought these tapes.
I'm curious to see some of these. I wonder what it's like. Because you probably can't look this up online.
No, I don't think so.
I feel like you can't like YouTube it, or maybe you can.
Maybe
I do like this. Well, this is, I should. It amuses me slightly, but there's this picture of this. This is still of this woman, like they're boxing. So they're boxing in their underwear, clearly not in the ring. And this woman is being like punched in the stomach, but she's being like held, like, you know, like her, the woman that's punching her has got her arm around this woman. Like she's like,
yeah,
you know, arm around her neck. Like it's like, hey, how's it going, buddy? Punch. Which I don't think that's how boxing works.
No, definitely not.
But yeah, so look, if you want to, you know,
we spent a lot of time on that one page.
Well, there's a lot here. There's a lot here. Come on, man. Would you not spend a lot of time on this one page? I've been waiting when we get to these magazines that I was going to see one of these. And now we have this is probably the holy grail of that.
Yeah,
this is all we had back in the '80s. Dick Bockwinkel does an interview.
Yeah. He's thinking about quitting wrestling.
Yeah. Eventually he did.
Yeah.
He was there for like another year.
Yeah, he wasn't around much longer after this.
Because so. He was feuding with Zbyszko, you know, because he didn't lose the title yet. But, you know, he's had enough with Louis Zbyszko. And that's right, because, he didn't beat wasn't awarded the title yet after Hansen left. Yeah, but, yeah, he's in the midst of it with Larry. And we get a lot of photos here. A lot of good color photos. Actually, these are really good. Yeah, these are really good. Another great shot of the AWA belt. This one looks more polished here, actually. I think it's a much older photo. I think once Hansen got a hold of it, he did something.
Yeah, that might be from the early 80s. Yeah.
Did want to point out one thing here. He's talking about how he's going to combat Mr. Hansen. And he's like, do you think Hansen's bull rope and cowbell will be a factor? He's like, no, I don't. If you've heard... But I have a little toy of my own. If you throw it out, it makes a loud popping noise. It's an all-American bullwhip. A farmer gave it to me, and I'm tearing the skin off my arm trying to use it. But it will come in handy if need be against Hansen, Zbyszko, or anyone else. So I will say I've never I don't think we ever got a chance to see it, but Nick Bockwinkle cracking a whip at some dude like he's Ron Bass is something I wish would be a thing.
And now we've got the Crockett Cup tournament coverage, and we see Road Warrior Animal, and he's got a Magnum TA and like a chin lock.
Yeah. I have a DVD of this.
Yeah. And I've seen the Crockett Cups, so
yeah, it's and I you know what I like I to be honest I like this I like it a lot. It's, yeah. It's a nice show, and you got like a lot of random matchups, and
I wish they would
love tournaments.
I wish they would do it again, but I mean it's not like we haven't had one night tournaments before or since. So
yeah, but we get the whatever they call it,
the brackets,
and I'm trying to think of some of my memories of this here, but I remember. The book Buzz Sawyer, Rick Steiner versus Italian Stallion, Coco Beware match. And that's awesome because that's like I love Buzz Sawyer. Yeah. Buzz Sawyer was awesome. I know he was a kind of a dipshit, but he was a great wrestler. And he had one of the best like power slams, the way he would do it. It just looked different. And I remember that being the finish of that. Also, the Youngbloods versus Mark Youngblood and Wahoo McDaniel against the Road Warriors. And I remember that match ending where I think Hawk does like a clothesline off the middle rope and he pins the Youngblood. Wahoo runs into the ring and he just stands there. So I don't know. It's weird because sometimes at NWA, like, it's illegal to like stop the pin from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how you get disqualified. But it makes the guy look bad if he just stands there and he's not, because Wahoo comes in, he just stands there, and like Hawkstand comes in and just kind of stand there.
Yeah,
and it just looks really weird.
It's like the AI was turned down in WWE 2K17, where you get pinned and then your partner doesn't come in to break up the pin.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
Also, Sheepherders versus Fantastics. That's a hell of a match.
Underrated the Sheepherders, man. I'll tell you, they were great before they went to the WWF.
They were pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, and then they just became the comic relief act in the WWF, but they were pretty awesome.
Yeah, but
they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
They do. They do.
Yeah, I know.
They and not got, just because they were in WWF, because of everything.
Yeah, I remember when they were being inducted. People who don't know any better were like, oh, these guys, they shouldn't be in the Hall. No, they should be in the Hall of Fame. They're awesome.
Kind of a shame because I feel like a lot of the stuff that they did that really made them stand out isn't widely available.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it, you know, might have been like in Memphis or the Southeast or like Stampede Portland. Or Portland.
They get a lot of good stuff in Portland. Yeah.
So, yeah, but they're a good team. You should look those guys up. But, this also has Baba in it. Giant Baba and Tiger Mask against Jimmy Garvin and Black Bart. And I remember that being very awkward because Baba just kind of like, you know, watching Giant Baba wrestle anytime is just weird because he's, you know, he's a very like, he's a gigantic Japanese man. But he moves very slowly, but people, you know, bump for him like they're being murdered. And it's crazy. And it's just, I mean, he was apparently very good. Probably in the 70s.
Yeah.
But like by the, you know, the mid 80s or whatever, he's probably having to slow down and stuff like that. But more fighting girls. Yeah.
More fighting girls.
All over the place. Yeah, we get some good pictures here of the tournament. You got, Magnum. Yeah, just a lot. These photos are, I feel like there's a lot of photos you don't get to see very often, too.
Yeah.
Great shot of here of the, I like the shot. The bloody shots.
Yeah, Luke of the Sheepherders is just bloody. Like, his face is covered in blood. Tommy Rogers is also busted open.
They're fighting over the flagpole.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but, the Road Warriors won that. And they got a cup, and it was nice. They won $1 million, and then they cashed that check. Oh, yeah, shit, look, I was here. You got the nice shot of them with the cup. You got like the other matches around here. This is when and I don't remember this. Maybe I do remember this. This is when Lady Maxine was hanging out with.
Yeah, them. She's helping Butch.
Helping Butch there. And then we have Dick Slater and Duggan, and then Flair and Dusty. Yeah, that was a good match. And actually, you know what? That's how it ends.
That's how it ends with wrestling coverage.
Yeah, I think.
On the back, you've got Ivan Koloff being hammerlocked by our favorite wrestler, the guy with the derby. What's his face? Billy Jack Haynes.
That's not Billy Jack Haynes.
Oh, who is that?
That's Steve Williams.
Oh, yeah, that is Dr. Death.
This is still like a photo from the thing.
Oh, that's Dr. Yeah, you're right. Maybe we're missing the back. No, we're not missing the back cover. That's just how it is.
Wait, is that really it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Look at the front and the back. It's like one page. So, yeah. Huh. That's just how it ends.
All right, fine.
That's a good way to end it.
All right, fuck you, magazine.
Anticlimactic ending, but.
Well, I guess that's it. That's the way that, that's how our podcast should end, too. We'd just be like, fine, we're done.
Yeah, but, yeah, this is an interesting magazine. I, like I said, when I flipped through it, I was like, this is the one we have to talk about next.
Glad you brought it to our attention.
Yeah. So, next time we'll be talking about another magazine from another year.
Yeah. We'll have to find something from like, maybe we'll do something from the before 80s, something for like early very early 80s, yeah. Or maybe I'll find something from like the 93. Yeah. I want to find like one of those wrestling rule breaker magazines.
Yeah. We will find something, and we will talk about it, and we will talk kayfabe, because that's what we do here,
yeah.
And I could talk kayfabe. You can find me on Twitter at SweatpantsJoe. You can find Sean at AngryHeroSean.
Yeah, same thing, Instagram.
Instagram as well.
And rate. We're on iTunes. Hopefully you're listening to this on iTunes.
Rate us 5 stars and comment. And if you got any criticism, let us know.
And tell a friend.
Yeah, tell a friend.
Choose a message on Twitter and let us know how you think.
5 stars.
And also Facebook. If you're on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, we have a Facebook page. I Can Talk Kayfabe. Just do a little search. I think it is Facebook. I Can Talk Kayfabe. I think it's how I set it up. But
yeah.
Yeah, like us on Facebook. We're trying to hit that 10,000 follower mark. So Pro Wrestling Tees will allow us to make t-shirts.
Is that how that works?
That's how it works. You have to have 10,000 followers.
Oh, okay.
We're trying to get there. Slowly but surely.
Our logo, which was created by Danny Muretta, he did a nice new version of our logo.
And it'll look good on a t-shirt.
And it looks good on a t-shirt. It looks like, actually look good on a belt.
Yeah.
Wrestling belt. Yeah.
And let's get to 10,000 so we can make t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees.
That's right, folks.
I'm sure we can make our own t-shirts, but.
Why not have Pro Wrestling Tees do it?
Let's let them do it.
All right, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.